is hard to ignore. It whispers back at me to dream, but not to swallow. To dream, but not to swallow, baby.
Hi, you're listening to Word on the Street, and this song is explicit, so just an explicit warning. You're listening to Shonen by Andrew Milat featuring Honda Carter.
Do me up, do me up, but I'm tripping off a pro gone. You were grown, I feel so lost. Getting older, meals on pause. Barely holding up, do me right. Don't do me wrong, please. Don't make me switch songs, please. Push me off the asphalt. Shove me off the blacktop. You is now an idol. You is now an idol. You is now an idol. You is now an idol.
Bedtime nightmare, do you like that? I don't like facts if they tell me who I am. Side light, where did you hide that? I don't wanna pass this time in my head.
Drop me off on the way down. I can't wait to be this member.
Some shit, niggas saw me fucking claiming that it's bullshit. Calling out you niggas that I'm about to go in. I done do this shit, no shit. Had it going down to the block, jump inside the jig, I might be. Ten in window, so you'll probably never find me. So you'll probably never find me. Ten in window, so you'll probably never find me.
Showing up, sounding easy peasy when I do it. Shonen Jump, trying to keep me busy as a student. I should feel the cut, yeah. Unless I leave, for my time is here. I should catch a bus, try to leave, hit the atmosphere. I should try to fly from the east, counterclockwise. Try to live in pictures of today and the daylight. We can't play no games, less is bills on the table. We can't be no kids, lest we live through the fables.
And you can try to hide away. And you can try to fly away from me. Why you trying to find the one piece? Why you trying to move? Some shit, niggas saw me fucking claiming that it's bullshit. Calling out you niggas that I'm about to go in. I done do this shit, no shit. Had it going down to the block, jump inside the jig, I might be. Ten in window, so you'll probably never find me. So you'll probably never find me. Ten in window, so you'll probably never find me.
25 to life, doing 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Bonafide suit, yeah, it's finalized.
Woo.
Done deal,
yeah.
Fuck it, unreal.
Unreal.
If I'ma try to get it, add an addy to my meals.
You know,
I
wouldn't even try to resist life sentence. With my yellow heart and the beverage, I could give a shit about the claws and the leverage on me. Why don't you let me solve this? Claiming that it's bullshit. Scared of my opponent, thinking that I'll blow it.
Hello, hello. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from the unceded territory of the Musqueam people. You're listening to Word on the Street, and today it is currently during 24 hours of student power. Whatever, it's fine. I was on 24 hours of student power with Isia. Who else was there, Isia, when we did that?
Megan, I think.
I think Lexus, too.
Maybe. And I think Ethan, no.
I feel like I feel like he was there too.
Possibly.
Maybe Ethan was there.
Michael.
I don't know who Michael is.
There's no Michael.
That's good. Anyway, so today we got some old members, we got some new members. It's the return of Jonah.
What's up?
Back, long time no see. Today we're going to talk about why we kind of appreciate CITR a little bit, and we're going to talk about classical music's influence on modern music. So first of all, why are we here? Like, not why are we here, like, on the earth, but why are we here at CITR? Why are you guys sitting here? Why do you care about this?
I wanted to do music stuff, but I'm like, I don't have, like, legitimate musical talent, so maybe if I just, like, talk about it, that can, like, get me just, like, close enough. So, yeah, that's why I'm here.
Music is tight, yo.
Have you guys ever watched that Netflix series, Dear White People?
Everyone compares me to her.
Yeah.
Like, everyone, for no reason.
So I'd, like, just finished watching that the first time before I came in. I was like, yo, radio seems kind of cool. And then my friend was just involved with it. And so I came down and just ended up joining the collective. And it just all the timing lined up perfectly and found myself on the show. And it was tight. It was dope. It's been good ever since.
Yeah. I talked to Narwar about joining the show, but to actually join this collective, I actually talked to you, Jonah, because we met at a party one time, and then you posted it on your story, and it was just that simple. Yeah. And somehow that happened. So that's how I joined. But how about some of your newer people that are here today? Like, Gabe, what about you? How did you learn about this, and why are you here?
I was a big fan of college radio back in Calgary, where I'm from, and listened to it for like a year, and then I was at like a movie in the park type deal in like a little park in Calgary, and the MC was a voice that I recognized, and so I went over and I was like, hey, are you the voice from Freshly Squeezed on CJSW? And it was this dude, he was like, I don't know, 20 something, and his face just lit up. He was like, oh my god, it's a fan. And he gave me a big hug, and his name was Jamal. His show is still going on, so tune in, Freshly Squeezed. And then like a week later, he's like, come to the show, and spent like 2 hours and watched his friend just live mix for like 2 hours straight without stopping. I was like, I gotta do this. And then a week later, I moved to UBC, and then met a couple of cool people, and they told me to come to the show, and now I talk, and no one cares what I say, but it's pretty fun.
I care, dude. It's okay.
Oh, thank you so much.
We got a couple new people here. Do you guys want to say why you're here today? You want to offer any insight? You don't have to. Not everyone speaks, but do you want to say why you came today? Sure.
Yeah. It was Jonah's been trying to get me to do little things like this every once in a while. Just get me out. And I think it's just super dope to be at a thing that's completely student-directed.
Mm-hmm.
That's like just a bunch of people that come together to talk about things that they love, about their passions. I think it's super dope.
For sure. How about you?
So I'm actually just visiting here from Calgary this week. I know Gabe, and can't say no to this guy, and he invited me here. So here I am. I love music. It's good to be here.
Cool. I see. I just want to ask, do you want to explain a bit about 24 Hours of Student Power a bit more, just what that is, what's going on?
Oh, yeah, sure. So 24 Hours of Student Power is basically just 24 hours of, like, student programming that happens once a year. And it's like a really cool event because we get to interview a lot of clubs and like collab with a lot of clubs you usually wouldn't, like, because like sometimes we'll collab with something like BVP because they're music related. But today, for example, I helped out with an interview with VASA, which is like the Visual Arts Student Association, I believe. And it was like really cool to hear their like perspective on art and stuff like that. And we always finish with a couple live performances, which is fun. And today we have Girls Nails, The Swill Merchants, and Maya Wallace performing from 7 to 9, so that should be fun. And yeah, it's just like a fun time. We like kick out everyone who isn't a student, and we like focus on just us, which is really cool. And yeah, that's what CITR is supposed to be about, so it's like a fun celebration of that, kind of.
Anyone else want to offer their take? Teo, Zubin, Shanae, Matt? No? Anyone want to say what CITR means to them, or we're going to move on? Okay.
The only reason why I wasn't here last year is because I was scared of talking on the radio. But basically, I just love music, and I have a lot of like oddly specialized knowledge with no outlet. So hopefully, CITR can fill some of that.
Cool. And the music we're playing today is trying to be more student oriented. Brian, what was the name of your friend? The song we just had at the start.
That was Tapeworm Diet by Young Sham.
Okay, so we got that song first, and then we had another song by Andrew Mulat, who was at UBC last year, made that album in his dorm. And we're going to have a couple more songs coming up later. They'll be more student-oriented. And here's another question I wanted to offer. I know we're all here, we care about this, but do we think that radio is still something that is useful? Do you think that it's something worth using these days with everything else? Does anyone have an opinion on that? Do you think it's obsolete? Do you think it's the best thing ever? What do you think?
I think, like, radio, like everything else, even though it may exist in its traditional forms, it's, like, advancing along with all kinds of other technology. Like, on Apple Music and stuff, there's, like, whatever that radio is that they have. And, like, Anderson .Paak, which is topical because he just released a great album, like, yesterday. He has his own show now, I think, on Apple Music Radio, which is really cool. And there's all kinds. I think there's, like, six, like, kind of genre-based shows. So it's not like radio is just limited to, like, radio waves. Like, they found a way to, like, incorporate it into our, like, new streaming way of listening to things, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I just think media now is so diverse that, like, it doesn't really matter, like, what the most, like, developed, like, obviously, like, with movies or TV, you can do a lot more than you can do on the radio, but now that the media that's out there is so diverse, people can really seek out what they want to find out, and if radio is something that works for people, like, it's really interesting to have, like an audio format. You can do a lot with that you couldn't necessarily do with like a full visual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can listen to, like if it's a radio or a podcast, you can listen to it while doing other things. You can incorporate that into more forms of your life. So if someone wants it, if there's a market for it, why wouldn't you keep on developing that?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think there are also very niche personalities on the radio. Like someone like Narbar, working around him and being around him, he says, oh, I was never going to actually do anything with the video footage I had. I just did it so I could put it on the radio. And now if you look at why people around here know him, it's actually because mostly the videos, like most of the fame he has is from those videos and seeing the actual visual reaction, but his foundation was all from the radio. You know, he's been here for more than 30 years now. And even someone like Frank Ocean, we were talking about this before we started today, until less than, you know, a week ago, when he has this Instagram now, one of the only ways you could hear his voice aside from the record is, you know, through his radio show that would come on sometimes because he's a very enigmatic, mysterious guy. He doesn't really like the limelight, but I thought it was really cool that, you know, he has this own, his own channel through the radio, and that was one of the only ways that he wanted to be accessed by, you know, his fans.
Yeah, another cool thing about listening to the radio, like as a, from a listener's perspective, is that it takes away some of the choice that sometimes we have a lot of. So we can curate like all of the music that we listen to, all of the art we listen to, whereas like a radio show or a podcast, you have somebody else doing all that curation work and just like choosing like the pieces of art that they've decided to string together as opposed to you doing it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think radio is just, it's great for the audience to make a connection with the people they're listening with, like the disc jockeys, the MCs. But also, it's great to connect with the artists, I find, because you always see your favorite artists getting interviewed on either late-night shows or like a YouTube series, and they're always there, and they're always with one host, but behind the camera, there's always like five people, and they're filming, and there's that pressure, and the interview always gets edited at some mm-hmm. point. But with radio, it's such a intimate environment. It's in a lot of cases it's just the host and the artist in a room talking, and if you talk long enough and the host is good enough, the artist becomes so much more comfortable and you just get that really intimate space. And as a listener, radio provides the opportunity to kind of see like the real side of your artists.
For sure.
Yeah,
I can definitely have, you know, empathy with that, because when I was here in the summer and no one else was really here, what I tried to do, because I wasn't just going to talk to myself for an hour, was have someone come in. Most of the time was an artist from Vancouver, usually someone I actually knew. But having them on the air and then talking to them in between the breaks, especially someone I didn't know, I felt like, oh, this is the most genuine way for me to get to know someone who I'm a fan of, because you actually have a chance to talk to them and you kind of have to force that on yourself. But if you can talk to someone well and you care about what they do, it's just, how else would you do that? You know, like I interviewed a guy a couple weeks ago from Victoria, and you know, we'd never met before, only talked to online. He came in, and then for an hour you just get to know someone. even another friend of mine, you know, I only interact with him online before because I met him through other artists. He came in the first time we met, did an interview, and it was just a great way to start to get to know someone who is into music or is into other media. So it's definitely a catalyst for that. Anyone else have to say anything? Jonah?
Yeah, I think the two forms of media that are probably most equivocal are radio and podcast. I just kind of want to pose a question here. What do you think the spontaneity of a radio show compared to the assumed polish of a podcast? How do those contrast? Like when you go into a podcast, you're expecting heavy edits, very focused discussion, and things to kind of be, you know, all refined and perfect when they come out. But with a radio show, much of it being done live like we're doing right now, there's a spontaneity and kind of a acceptance that it's not going to be perfect. And how do you guys think that those two kind of are different and better in one way or another?
Well, first, I think I've thought about doing a podcast, but I don't think I actually like the idea of not doing it live. I like doing it live. I like that you just have to go off the top of your head and you don't have much time to think. And I know when you talk about messing up, sometimes coming in here and talking to Nara for a second, he literally said, it wouldn't be student radio if you didn't mess up. I mean, he used other words, but he said, you know, if you're just saying everything perfectly, then that's not really student radio. And he was talking about how when you see things on the news, think about what's more entertaining. Is it more entertaining when the report is perfect and they're just talking about, oh, I don't know, there's a storm here or something, or when they mess up and something funny happens in the background? I mean, there, that just happened now. Like, that's a perfect example. Like, Teo just tripped on Brian's skateboard. Like, that wouldn't happen in a podcast, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And but I think sometimes, you know, you would expect podcasts to be sort of less genuine, but I think you can also say, like, that doesn't mean that they can't be genuine. Like, I know you, Jonah, have listened to Dissect before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I find, like, he's a super genuine guy, Cole Kushner. And I think he's super genuine. So, needless to say, you know, it could be either way, but there's definitely an element about radio that you can't find in many other media because it is so uncut and it's raw.
The great part about making mistakes is that it makes you more connectable, or it makes you more real. You know, no one realistically in life is perfect, and I think making mistakes allows the listeners to go, wow, this is actually a real person, and it's okay to make mistakes, and that's cool. So I think it's more inclusive than a podcast, and you also feel more connected to the people because it's happening right then and there, and it's not, you know, has happened in the past, and I'm gonna cough.
I think in terms of like making content, it's a lot less pressure to make a live show because if you mess up, it's like, oh, well, okay. But like in podcasts, you'll have like the pressure to just keep on editing everything until it's perfect. And they can go kind of crazy. And I don't know. I think live is much more fun.
Yeah. And I think this is not relative to a podcast, obviously, but someone like Jimmy Fallon.
He's not funny.
Yeah. Thank you. I find him like very... not genuine and very, like, you know, forced, like, that laughing and everything.
He's not funny.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, I think with radio, you don't have much room for those kinds of people. Like, the people you see on the radio, even if it's on the internet, someone as eccentric as Charlamagne the God, or someone like Sway, or someone like Big Boy, or, again, someone like Narwhar, like, those, like, that's actually how they are. I think it's really... interesting that you can actually tell that's who they are, because, you know, when you come in here and you meet the people who you've heard on the air, maybe you expect them to be different, but from my experience at least, they're always the same. If I met Jimmy Fallon, I think he'd be different, and like I mean like you said, I don't think he's funny already. But I'm just saying, I don't like how there's so much room for that fake persona.
Yeah.
Well, I think with that, like, persona thing is when you develop and you edit a podcast or you have a TV show or whatever, you have to uphold that persona, and once the audience likes it, you have to be that character and you have to change yourself, so whether or not that persona is real or not, it doesn't matter, you have to maintain it. when you're on the radio and you're tired and you have a bad day, it's live. And if you mess up and you say something you shouldn't, it's out there. So you can't really fake it unless you put in the effort for the whole hour to just put on a show. If you slip up, you slip up, and that's where that intimacy comes in with the audience. Like Tay was mentioning, it's a real person up there. Like
Ali G said, keep it real.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone have any other comments on this question?
Yeah, I think a part of the appeal of live radio and live performance is this sort of nosy character that we all have inside ourselves to really want to get to know a person for who they are. And I think it's fun to get to know people's quirks, and when they mess up on radio, that's kind of like knowing someone intimately. And I think that authenticity is really appealing and makes something sort of visceral about the content that you're putting out, which is awesome.
For sure. Nothing else, Teo? Is that all you had to say?
I got one more thing. Yeah, radio is really intimate. Like what you said, like it's very much one-on-one right now. All you people in the car right now, listen to this by yourself. This one's for you. You guys are great. Thanks for tuning in. It's intimate. It's like, it's cool.
I think everyone here has been that person just in the car, stuck in traffic, bumper to bumper. So when you hear Teo, and everyone has their image of him in your head, whether you've really seen
strong physique,
just from his voice,
6'2".
The
archetype of
jacked.
Male dominance.
Oh, yeah.
That's me.
That's Teo. But no, when you're in the car and you had a really, really crappy day and you're stuck in traffic and it's pouring rain, you're in Vancouver, and then someone says, it's like, hey, this one's for you. It's like, this one is for me. I earned it. Yeah. And so you get that relationship with the DJ. So everyone go hit up Teo because he's a beast.
Please don't.
Okay, I think it's time for a little break. A couple more songs. A couple ads. I see. What do you want to play next? Ian by. Sorry, could you get the mic?
I'm going to play Ian by August Cooper, who our band made up of students from several different institutions. So.
Yeah, nicely put. Okay, so we'll be back soon. You're listening to Word on the Street. I'm your host, Isaac, and thanks for tuning in. And this is 24 Hours of Student Power at CITR, and this is Ian.
Fingers touch yours, our skin will crumble. magazine from CITR has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
Hello, hello. We're back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Just heard a few songs. One of the songs from August Cooper, you can catch them opening for Calpurnia December 21st and 22nd at the Vogue. Club Sofa performs pretty regularly, too. You just heard one of their songs. Great live band to see. And now we're going to transition to a new topic. Yeah, I know. I should have done it. I'm sorry to Fantano fans out there. I let you down. So today we're talking about classical music and modern artists and how that plays into that. So I see you had a argument you wanted to bring up about this. So what do you want to say?
Not like truly an argument, because I don't even think I have like a super strong opinion on it. But just like musicians who are classically trained versus like self-taught musicians, and like what maybe the benefits of one or the other maybe, or like if there's like a certain air of like superiority in one or not, like I don't know, just that general topic, if anyone has opinions.
As far as superiority goes, I think there can be like quite a bit in both. Like when you talk about somebody, if they like have, if they've taught themselves, it's like that's very cool, but I think it can like let in room for a lot of like egoism, like kind of like a virtuoso type thing. But the exact same thing could be said for like classical, but in a different way. It's like they might know like more technical things in like a way that's impressive, and they might introduce like some snobbery. Like, not to generalize anyone who's either of those things, but if superiority is a problem, then those two things can be said.
So I was classically trained in piano for 13 years. Both my parents were musicians, and there's definitely a phase I went through where I just decided that I hated music, which is tragic, and I think a lot of people go through that and never come out of it. But on the other side of that phase, I have such an appreciation for the training that I did have, because it set me up with a pretty good foundation for the kind of music that I like now. I was able to teach myself other instruments, and definitely the classical training comes out in what I write now. And so I'm interested, like, what has everyone's experience with music been growing up, and how does that influence what you listen to or write now?
I was not classically trained, but I played piano for 10 years, I did. And for the first six of them, my first instructor was like this 70-year-old dude, and he grew up in a traveling polka band in Poland. And it was crazy cool. And he basically refused to teach me sheet music, and instead really influenced like my, like the art of hearing. And he's like, his whole motto was like, the band doesn't stop. So if you play wrong note, it doesn't matter. Just keep going and just play the song and have fun. Mm-hmm. And so that was like the whole thing I learned. And that's how it was easier for me to grasp music later on, was just I could hear it and I could just play it, because that's mm-hmm. how I was trained. But I found a lot when I started playing with other people that the skill was a lot different between my skill and like the classically trained, because mm-hmm. classically trained, their dexterity was a lot stronger, their knowledge was a lot stronger, but I always found in my personal experiences that they're a lot more timid to try new material, especially because when I was there, I really didn't care if we played it wrong or we played it out of time. I just wanted to play it and have fun. But they were so daunted by like playing it wrong that it was hard for them to break through and to just jam. I don't know if anyone else has that experience, or there's a classically trained person here who's like, no, you don't know what you're talking about, I can play whatever. But that was just my experience.
Yeah, I think I'm taking this class right now that's actually like an introduction to theory, and the professor really stresses, oh, it's okay to make mistakes. When I was learning, it was not okay, you know, it's like slap on the wrist if you make a mistake at all, like one note wrong. But he's saying, you know, you shouldn't be afraid to make mistakes in music. Like, that's what it's all about, is just learning how you can fix those mistakes. And you're talking about this art of the ear, and I wanted to stress that because, Jonah, you were talking about that thing that Michael Jackson used to do when he made music. And what was that about?
Yeah, so Michael Jackson was never really classically trained, as in he couldn't read sheet music. He couldn't, didn't play instruments in any super technical capacity. So whenever he would have an idea for a song, he would take just a recording device. He would beatbox into it for the drums, and then he would use his vocals to play every instrument part in that song. And so there's a video on YouTube. I don't know if you want to pull it up, Isia, so we can play it. But it's a demo tape of the song Beat It that he sent to his record label and was like, this is a song I want to make. And it's him beatboxing, doing the bass line with his voice, doing all the instrumentation with his voice, and doing all the harmonization with his own voice. And it's pretty much the song as you hear it now, just instead of synths and instruments, you have Michael Jackson just being Michael Jackson. So do we have that clip lined up?
Is it impressive?
It's pretty dope.
It sounds impressive.
Yeah, I can play it.
Yeah, let's try it out.
Okay, this is the harmonies. Vocal harmonies on the choruses.
I don't hear it. But okay, I'm gonna turn the mics off for a second so we can hear it.
I'll do the verses, then I'll do the choruses. 1, 2, 3, 4.
That was cool. We're back. So, Brian, you had something to say related to this.
Oh, geez. Well, I was just going to talk about like my own, I guess, journey and experience with music.
Sure.
I started on saxophone and piano as a classically and jazz-trained like musician. I like went to these classical lessons like basically every single week for like quite some time. but I kind of like... I don't know. I don't really consider myself like a musician from that era because really what I was training myself to do was just like copy music where I was like learning how to replicate what other people were doing, but I really wasn't learning the mechanics of how the language of music works, you know? So I like couldn't really express myself. I was like in these parameters of like other people's work all the time. So then like I picked up guitar when I was like 10 or 11 and I just kind of like fiddled around with it and just like, you know, was being a kid, goofing around. And I'm, like, entirely self-taught in guitar, but, like, I consider myself, like, much more musical on guitar. And I can, like, express, like, like what I'm feeling, what I'm trying to say a lot better. And it's because I don't have those restrictions of, like, a classical upbringing on that instrument. So, like,
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I think that's definitely interesting, a different take. Like, sort of that feeling, you know, you don't have to follow those guidelines. You should have the creative freedom. And, again, I'm taking this class... that's sort of an intro to theory, and I like to hear now not only from, you know, people our age feeling like, oh, you can sort of break this wall, but my prof, who, you know, he's been doing theory for, I don't know, 40 years, but even he is saying now, you know, it's okay to make the mistakes and it's okay to just play around and learn music, and it's good to take a class where you feel like he actually just wants to, you know, you to learn instead of stressing you have to get it right, you have to do it this way. So I think that's positive that people are being more open-minded about it now. So it's good that that's changing and, you know, it's fused into other genres as well.
I just want to ask Brian, after you, learned guitar and now you feel like you can express yourself by the guitar, have you ever tried going back to saxophone or piano to see what it would be like, to, like, see if you can break past that, like, stigma that you built in your mind against
Oh, yeah.
the two instruments?
100%. I like kind of took a hiatus from piano and saxophone for a while because I was just like really bummed on it, you know. I just like, I don't know, it wasn't working. But like, it's like last year I like started like playing jazz again on saxophone in particular, and I got like really into like improvisation with that. So like my, I guess, like ability now to like step into new grounds and just like mess up all the time has been like really great for that. However, I will admit, ever since I quit piano, oh man, I wish I was like, I stuck with the classical training, because like piano in particular is just like really hard to have the dexterity to like do everything. Like I'm really stuck in just like, I don't know, playing the same stuff over and over again. And like, yeah, it's like original, quote unquote. And like, I don't know, it's just like, it's not very good.
Yeah, no, I'm the same. Like I used to play all the time and then you stopped like a year. Now I can play like the 12 bar blues and that's about it. So
retweet, brother.
Yeah, I might have had a bit of a similar experience. I took piano lessons for 10 years. I did classical for a bit, and then I think my piano teacher clued in that I wasn't here because I wanted to be, and I was here because my parents thought it was a good idea. So we changed to more like pop rock stuff. I remember like playing Stairway to Heaven and just being like, this is what music is supposed to feel like. Just like that girl that's like, I feel so good playing this, but that it's like remarkable because that wasn't there for me before. It was all about memorization. It was all about technique. I wasn't feeling the rhythm. I wasn't hearing the music. I was like constricted by like a metronome, and all of those things can be amazing. But if like, if it's not your idea to do it in the first place, then it's not very fun. And after that, I didn't touch a piano for like 5 years. I was just like so over it whenever it was like I didn't have to do it anymore. And I remember somebody asking me, it's ironic because I love music so much now, it's like, what's your favorite song? I was like, I don't listen to music. And like later on, I started taking vocal lessons, and that's when it really changed for me, because it wasn't so much about, there was more practicing, but it wasn't so much about like perfect technique, even though obviously that is a part of vocal music. But I guess what I'm trying to say, it was just so much more expressive. I could connect to it so much more. And then I found all of the stuff that I like today through that.
I was that kid who was like just bad at theory, like always, and just all math, like science, all technical things. But I always had really, really great music teachers, just like always, except for a brief period in eighth grade.
Wow.
Delvio Mitchell, Mount Elementary School, Mr. Fitz, I'm sorry. But he was, I'm sorry. But they always like knew I wasn't good, but they always like, I guess, valued me because I was like enthusiastic and just really into music. Like I remember my music teacher in high school being like, maybe like everyone's better than you, but you know stuff. And I was like, okay. And like that got me pretty far. So I feel like as long as you're like enthusiastic and like into the music, it doesn't really matter. Like technical, but it kind of does, but like I don't know, just like the enjoyment can get you pretty far.
It's my personal opinion that if you love what you're doing, like you're gonna be good at it. It's gonna be kicking like if your heart's in it, you know. So like, keep it real. Yeah, keep it real, yo.
What if you love what you're doing and you just suck?
Well,
we were talking about this earlier. About just musicians who try really hard, they love what they're doing, but just for better or for worse, you know them, you've been to the open mics, you've seen them play, they're not good. Like, they're just not good. They've been training for 10 years in whatever they're playing, and it's their dream. What do you guys think about that?
Well, hey, let's take a look at Jonah Hill with mid-90s. Well, no, I mean, like, I don't know, he's like really into like skate culture, hip-hop culture, but like, I'm not really sure if Jonah Hill could skate or not. I'm assuming that he's like.
He
not,
said he was bad.
Yeah, yeah. So he's bad at skating. But like, look at him. Look at him go. He just made mid '90s. That was it. Slapped. I haven't seen it, but I've heard it slapped. Don't let your dreams be dreams, yo.
So, I think there's a lot to be said for finding your niche in whatever field that you're in, and. Something I was thinking about in the last conversation that we just had is how we all took a lot of different pathways to come to our realization for the love of music. And what if you don't just suck at it, but maybe you haven't found the place that you belong in yet? What do we think about that?
That's deep.
You want to expand on that?
Yeah, no. you guys brought up a lot of really great points, like with Brian was saying, with limiting freedom if being classically trained to not get anything wrong, and then also like being bad at it but still trying. I think that's kind of like an oxymoron, being bad at something but trying, because by definition, if you keep trying, you get better at it. So there's some point. I mean, then that goes to the question is whether or not, at what point do you go, okay, you know, you admit to yourself, Teo, you really, really suck at this. Just stop. And I think it really depends on the artist. Because, like, Bryan Cranston he tried being an actor for so long, and until he hit his 50s did he get his Breaking Bad. And he told
Malcolm in the Middle.
No, but that wasn't a big break for him.
It was sick, though.
It was sick. And he admits all the time that he is not a good actor, but he tries really hard. And I think that if you try hard enough, usually you get to a point where maybe you're not amazing, but at least you don't suck.
I think it's not just a matter of trying hard, but also trying to expand and change what it is you're doing. Like, if you get stuck in a rut of trying to do the same thing and it's not working for you, like, either you don't have the skill set for it, or you're just, like, not finding the breakthroughs that you want to do. Like, it's interesting, like, going back to your point a little while ago about how you felt like in classical music training, you're just copying what people are doing. I feel like you have to learn to copy what other people do first before you can develop your own style. So, like, being open to, like, trying something for a while, and then if it's not your thing, changing it up is part of expanding, part of getting better, that's often neglected. Like, if you're doing that, you will almost certainly find, like, your niche, as we spoke about before, like, your spot in, like, art.
I say, like, on that note, like, I guess, I don't know, not being an artist personally, but, like, there's ultimately, like, a limited amount of space for, like, famous people or, like, what we consider as successful artists. So, like, there could be a lot of talented, hardworking, experimental people out there who are doing seemingly everything right, as we've just discussed, but ultimately they may not see that, like, success that they want. So I guess there's, like, a lot of personal questions you have to ask yourself about why you're making your art.
Yeah, I'm not. I just want to be clear. I'm not saying give up on your dreams. No, do what you love. If it makes you happy, it makes you happy. I just wanted to see everyone else's perspective. That's all. Do what you love. Follow your dreams. Be Bryan Cranston. Be on Breaking Bad when you're 50.
So what the takeaway is, Shia LaBeouf said, "Don't let your dreams be dreams. Mm-hmm. Just do it. Just do it.
Just do it.
Play Mo Bamba."
Oh, yeah. Okay. So we got a few minutes left, and since we're talking about this, we sort of want to, you know, mix classical music with modern music. So we want to give the best example of this. Yeah, student influence too. You know, this is a marching band.
Not UBC's marching band.
Not UBC's, unfortunately.
But they are students.
Anyway, yeah, not UBC, but it's, you know, student related, classical, modern music. I'm sure you've heard Mo Bamba by now. If you think you haven't, you have. Anyway, this, you got the clip?
Yeah.
Load it up? Okay, this is a clip of Mo Bamba performed by a marching band. I think we're going to use this to close off the show this week.
Yeah, also shout out to Prairie View A&M University Marching Storm Band, because that's who did this.
Okay, word. Thank you for listening to Word on the Street. We'll see you again next week. This has been during 24 Hours of Student Power. Yes, Teo?
Oh, wait.
And this one's for you guys.
Just remember, there's the performances in the lounge from 7 to 9, Girls Nails, The Swill Merchants, and Maya Wallace. Come through.
All right, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.